Welcome to the Wisconsin Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Music Podcast, where we shine a spotlight on the incredible talents stemming from the Badger State. Today, we're turning up the volume on Milwaukee's own rock phenomenon, the Resonators. This band isn't just playing music, they're crafting an experience with all original tunes that boast catchy riffs, cool grooves, and guitar licks so tasty they might just be beyond legal advertising. Having embarked on an ambitious journey with their double album Dream River and Other Tales of Adventure, the Resonators have captivated listeners far and wide. This record just isn't a collection of songs, it's an odyssey through rock and roll with nearly 100,000 listens on Spotify signaling its resonance. Tracks like Everyday, leading the charge with over 27,000 listens, and others like Panic Button and Highway Nights secure their own fan bases. But this band is more than just a one-hit wonder. They're a rock and roll machine delivering a variety of sound, styles, and textures that keep their audience hooked. Get ready to dive deep into the world of the Resonators, exploring how their music came to be, the stories behind their top tracks, and what they have in store for their ever-growing fan base. Stay tuned, you're in for a rockin' good time. But don't forget to check them out on Spotify through the link in our show notes. Check us out on YouTube and follow their journey on Instagram and YouTube. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the Wisconsin Music Podcast. I am your host, Zach Fell, and this week we have the Resonators with Robert and Barry. So guys, welcome to the Wisconsin Music Podcast.
Thank you very much.
So let's get the listeners to know a little bit about yourselves first. Why don't you tell your music origin story, how you got it started in music and kind of how it has progressed through the years to where you are today.
Well, let's see. If you have about 3 hours, I could tell you the origins. But the Reader's Digest condensed version is that I was playing in cover bands and wanted to do original music. And of course, cover bands, you know, doesn't mix well, cover audiences want to hear cover music. So wanting to do original music, I decided it was time to branch out and get an all originals band together. So we looked around for a long time. It took quite a while. It was quite a journey just to get the right people that were interested in this type of music. You want people who are on the same page as each other, more or less. So it took quite a long time, but eventually we did managed to get some really good people, and it was spectacular once we got it together.
Great. And Barry, what about you? How did you get started in music?
It was all because of Rush.
Nice.
So I started playing drums when I was 16, and I've always played music. Even when I was a little kid, I tried piano, I tried trumpet, I tried all sorts of stuff and failed miserably at everything. And then finally put a pair of sticks in my hand after hearing a Rush song. And the rest is history. It's been it's been over 30 years now, maybe 35 years close. Yeah, 37 years. I'm almost 35 years out of high school.
Wow.
So, I started in Detroit, played with a couple of friend bands for a while, and then got my first actual real paying gig with a guy named Michael King in Detroit. Played with him for a while, and then I hooked up with a band called Joe Serapair in the Hot Tail section back in the late 90s, and that was kind of like the hot jazz when all the jitterbugging and stuff came back into I guess vogue. And we opened up for bands like Squirrel Nut Zippers and Cherry Poppin' Daddies, and we almost had the chance to open up for Brian Setzer, but they canceled last minute. We weren't able to do it, and that was a bummer. But we opened up for a lot of cool bands at the time, and we had a pretty good thing going for a few years. And then I ended up moving to Pennsylvania. I lived there for a few years and played with some bands out there. Played with one band, Julie Schreiber Band, and now she and her husband are in a band called Solar Federation, which is a Rush cover band.
Okay.
And they do all the stuff, and they just recently played at A Night for Neil. If any of the fans out there know, Neil Peart was the drummer for Rush, and he passed away in 2020. So they had a big concert for him in his honor in St. Catharines, Ontario, and they played there. So that was pretty cool, and I still keep in contact with them. And you make a lot of friends over the years in the music industry, and then I also met Bob once I moved out to Wisconsin. I've been here since 2004 and played with many bands out here. But I met Bob through a couple other people and ended up playing in another band with him for a while. And then also joined the Resonators. And between that, and I've also got two other bands I play with at this point, the Gleasons and Substitute Tales from the Who, which is a Who tribute band.
Okay.
So keeping busy.
So this band, the Resonators, if people want to go out and see you, what type of music are, I mean, you said you're original. So what kind of genre, you know, umbrella are you guys kind of underneath? Or is this like you're picking from a whole bunch of different genres?
Yeah, it's I just call it rock and roll, you know, just good old fashioned rock and roll. And what that means to one person might mean something to else to somebody else. But I don't know. I guess it's hard to compare because we're not trying to sound like any particular band. So I can't say that we're just like the Black Crows or we're just like the, you know, Led Zeppelin or whatever, because we're not.
Right.
But, you know, it's just down and dirty rock and roll, kind of riff driven, a lot of cool grooves, a lot of good feels to the songs. Guitar oriented, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Okay. And how many people are in the group total?
Four.
So, Bob, which instruments are you playing?
Guitar.
Okay. And then you have bass player and what else?
Right. And then Sherry's our singer.
And you have the singer. Okay. Excellent. And then how long has this group been together?
Well, we started looking for people back in like 2014, I think it was. And then we actually sort of began the recording process not long after that. And so what we've got out right now is 25 songs on what I call a double CD set, which is kind of an old school term nowadays because nobody buys CDs anymore, but that's how I term it though, just because it came out as in one set. So it was a long process. That was a long process also, just all of the recording that went into it. So that was something that took years actually to complete. But yeah, we started out looking for people, probably I think it was 2014-ish.
Okay.
And then so we had a couple changes of people.
Yeah, maybe 2016 since. Yeah, maybe 2016 for this particular lineup.
Correct. Yeah.
So you guys are coming up on your 10-year anniversary next year.
Yeah, all right.
That's excellent.
We're not getting any younger, that's for sure.
that's not how it goes.
We're supposed to be wiser, though.
Yeah. Does that even actually happen sometimes?
Right.
So you guys were playing out for now. I mean, we had that little, want to call it a break or, you know, during COVID.
Yeah.
But
right.
What is, maybe we could compare the two, pre-COVID and post-COVID. What has the live scene been like for you guys?
Well, since COVID, yeah, we're currently not playing right now, but we'll probably be putting together some stuff again for next year. We have been, what, almost a year that we haven't played?
Yeah, it's about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess at first, coming out of COVID, it was pretty difficult. I think a lot of venues were uncertain if people would even come out. So there was it took a long time before I think they even wanted to book bands just because there was that uncertainty of, okay, our crowd's even going to come out. You know, right. Are they going to want to mingle with each other like the old days, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people, I think, just got used to being at home, too. So it's like if you don't keep going out, you kind of forget about doing those kind of things.
Yeah.
Right.
And so other things take over and now it's been a chore getting people to come out. The other two bands I play in, it's slowly creeping back up. You know, you're getting more and more people coming out to each show. But
I think
when we jumped back in, it was bare bones. I mean, some nights you were playing to the sound man and the bartenders, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's slowly coming back. I think people are just kind of starting to feel like they're getting back to normal.
Yeah,
right. It's taken a while, but
hey,
you know,
definitely.
We're still here.
Yes, exactly.
Producers and beat makers of Milwaukee, it is time for the 2024 Big Beat MKE Beat Battle Tournament, taking place at the Jackalope Lounge at the Wicked Hop in Milwaukee's Third Ward on Thursday nights between April 25th and June 13th. Producers are going to go head-to-head in 3 1-minute rounds to determine who is going to move on to the next round of the tournament with some amazing prizes from some great sponsors. Don't forget that you can submit your beats today at breakingandentering.net through March 31st.
How many recordings or how many projects have you guys recorded in these 10 years that you've been together?
Total of 25 songs.
Okay. So that was just the double CD that you talked about earlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when was
that? Just took.
I was going to say, and that was, it sounded like you guys did that pretty early on. So what year was that when that came out?
2021, I believe.
Oh, okay.
It was.
So recently then. Okay.
Yeah. It was self-financed. Right. So it takes a while.
You know? So what we did is, I'd scrape up, a couple hundred bucks and we go in the studio and lay down the drum tracks for like three songs. Then we'd have to wait a couple more months for me to scrape up a couple hundred more and go in and put the bass track on and wait a couple more months and do something else. So, like I said, it was a very tedious process, but we persevered and we were determined to get it done and we did it.
Excellent. So yeah.
In the end, we're very happy.
I don't hear that a lot from bands where they actually do exactly what you just did, where they would just do piecemeal it together. But I mean, everybody's got to figure out a way to do it, which is, you know, at least you got it done.
Yeah.
So right. When did you start the project? You said you came out in 21, but when did it start? What year did you guys start doing this?
I think in 14, 2000, I think 2014 would have been the first set of recordings. And then actually it was finished for a while. And then again, life took over and, yeah. Some family changes. And so I wasn't able to finance any further mixing and mastering of the stuff. So it just literally sat on a shelf for a couple of years, even after it was finished, completely recorded. And then finally, some things allowed me to put that forward and finally get that the final mixes and final masters done.
Excellent.
And, get some artwork and, physically get, make CDs and all that sort of thing.
Right.
So there was a delay in there just out of financial reasons.
Oh, gotcha. And so the songs that you guys started this recording and by the time you got done, did you feel that you guys have progressed as musicians and you've grown and that it's kind of a timeline of your beginnings to where you are today?
I would certainly think so. Yeah, I think live, we sometimes play the songs a little differently. Because, mm-hmm. When I went into the studio to record, the drum tracks, they were a certain way. But, over time, you kind of go, oh, well, I'll sprinkle this idea and I'll sprinkle that idea in. And so looking back, it would have been nice if maybe we had a couple years of playing the songs on the road before we actually went into the studio. But I'm very happy with the studio recordings. But I'm the kind of drummer who likes to sprinkle stuff in the live, make it interesting each night. So we're not just playing the same thing over and over.
Right. So excellent.
There's always a live energy, too, that it's difficult to reproduce that.
Yeah.
When you're playing live, there's a certain adrenaline going on that,
right,
gives a little bit of extra life.
So yeah, to answer your question shortly, we have progressed quite a bit over the years.
Good.
And I think even the songs too, some of the early songs were maybe just slightly musically more simple, more straightforward. Maybe I should say that simple makes it sound like there's just two chords in the song, and that's not really the case for any of our songs. So I wouldn't say simplistic, but they were just more straightforward. Some of the later songs had a couple more complexities to them and a couple more things going on, more interesting things to listen for, I think.
So did you put the order of the songs like in a way where it starts off with the stuff earlier recorded and then as you get towards the end of the project, it's more of the newer stuff, or was it like a mix of everything? There is no, it just bounces around throughout the years.
The only real concept that I had for the order was that the first, again, this is speaking in old school terms of the CD, of the disc, rather than say the streaming,
Right.
But on the discs, there's two discs, and the first disc was kind of the rocker that was sort of like some kind of a reproduction of a live show. It might be the order that we might even play some of those songs in live. So it was a very energetic feel. And the second disc also has some great rockers on it too, but it's a different feel than the first disc.
Okay.
So that they were kind of separated in that way. And the second disc kind of tapers off, not in interest level or in energy, but just kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It gets more scaled down. I think that's what I'm looking for as we go on. So that the last song is actually just an instrumental. The one prior to that is just an acoustic guitar and Sherry on vocals. And the one prior to that is, so it just kind of, there's a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less as it goes towards the last song.
Gotcha. Cool. Very cool. So if you'd like, we could put like 3 or 4 songs on the podcast so people can kind of get an idea of what you guys are, what kind of sound you guys have. Is there a few that you could pick and maybe talk a little bit about each one a little bit to give each one its own little story behind it?
What do you think?
What songs?
Yeah. Do you have any personal favorites?
The Edge is really good.
Yeah, I know that's Sherry's favorite.
Yeah.
So what's the story behind that one?
I don't know if there's a story. Most of the songs that I've written are actually not based in, real experiences or based on real people that I know, which goes contrary to, I think, what a lot of people do. But I just kind of think of things in my head, almost like how someone would write a fictional story. I just put some characters out there and see what they would do. So The Edge is just about people just trying to get to that final place, like the apex of what they can become. Take me to the edge of my being, so to speak.
You always take me to the end. I'm on the edge. You don't get paid, so you are made my plan. I'm on my plan. I know.
Sort of the title track of the CD called Dream River and Other Tales of Adventure, but the song is called just Dream River.
Okay.
That was a really cool song when I first wrote it. I just had music for a long time. I had that music for years, and a couple singers had tried to put words to it, and it just wasn't coming out the way I had hoped it would. So that was one of the turning points in my own songwriting, I think, that eventually I just realized I was going to have to take matters into my own hands and, you know, just pound it out. And up to that point, I hadn't really had a lot of confidence in writing lyrics. But then when this started flowing, it was one of those rare occasions where I hardly had any revisions or cross outs or anything, just kind of came. So it really flowed nicely, and music flows nicely too. I think it's a really, really nice song to listen to.
Thank you.
the band says goodbye. So what's that about?
That's about the band at the end of the night, and sort of it's about the relationship between the band and the audience, and how that relationship actually develops within that short period of time that you're playing for them, whether it's a big 3-hour set or, you know, whatever it happens to be. You have this relationship with the audience, and at the end of the night, you know, the band has to say goodbye, and, you know, we wish we could go on, but the bar is closing down, and you gotta get out of here. Yep. So that's what it's all about.
Okay, cool. To the end of these questions here, some of the things I ask is like work-life balance. You guys had, you know, talked about sometimes you had to take a break, and, you know, especially it took you 7 years from the beginning to actually releasing this album. So was it just because you were working on work-life balancing? And if so, have you become really experts at that, or is it still a constant struggle?
Well, Barry's got a lot of balance. We were just talking about that actually before we came on.
Yeah. I run a home improvement business. So, that takes up a lot of time. especially day job, you know, of course, playing in two bands and two other bands and three bands going on. And then I got a piece of property up north, you know, I'm married, our kid's 32, so I'm not really in the kid game anymore. Work-life balance. I wish I could play drums all day long. It would be nice. And
yeah,
we've actually talked about it recently, my wife and I, maybe putting in two more years and being done. She's an accountant. I'm a carpenter. So we'd like to be done. And then maybe I could get back to playing drums a lot more. You know, used to do this for a living a long time ago.
Right.
And then when I moved to, you know, when I moved to Wisconsin, I decided that I just wanted to eat steak every day instead of, you know, it's either caviar or ramen noodles when you're on the road as a drummer that's playing in a band that's not world famous.
Right.
So some days you're eating really good and some days you're eating ramen noodles while you're driving down the road.
Yep.
So, you know, I just decided I wanted to eat steak every day. And, I turned drumming into, you know, like this sideshow rather than the actual show, and opened up home improvement business. So I still very much practice almost every day. I sit down behind my drums every day when I'm not playing. And so I'm a very busy person. It's not too many downtime hours throughout the day.
What about you, Bob? Any words of wisdom about work life?
Yeah, there's a lot of balancing going on. You know, I've got a family, band. You know, I'm always, if I'm not at work and not bouncing the little kid on my knee, then I've got a guitar on my knee. there's always that, because, you know, almost anybody who's in this line of business at the level that we're at has got a day job, you know, to actually pay the bills. So we have that going on, and we have a life, of course. But you know, we all have this passion for music, and so we find a way to fit it in, and that's where we're at. You know, that's what we look forward to, and not that we don't look forward to the other things in our lives, but that's one of the things in our lives that we look forward to.
And
so
then
we fit it in. We find a way.
Definitely. Yep. Absolutely. And then, if there was a gig that either that you were a performer as or as an audience member that made a big impression on you, what show would that be?
You go first.
Oh, geez.
I mean, I know you talked a lot about opening up for some bigger names back in the day, so I don't know if it's one of those or something different.
Well, are you asking me what concert I've seen or something like that?
Either a concert that you are an audience member of or as a performer that made a big impression on you.
Well, one of the biggest concerts, well, one of the, and a lot of people won't know this, but I went and saw the Chick Corea acoustic band a couple years ago before Chick Corea passed away.
Nice.
And I'd have to say probably that's one of the best shows musically that I've ever seen. I'm kind of a jazz head and I enjoy a lot of Afro-Cuban music and stuff too. So I tend to go to the shows that are kind of off the beaten path, but I did see Rush 28 times.
Whew.
And so they're a huge influence.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I could cite just one, because there's just so many bands I'm into and so many drummers that I'm into. It's really hard to nail it down to one band, because I have different interests within music. And I go, you know, I'm jazz this week, progressive rock the next week. Then I'm listening to Irish music, you know, or I'm listening to Afro-Cuban music. So I guess I would have to say that probably every show that I've seen over the years has probably been an influence in one way or another. And I think as a musician, if you want to improve, I think that's the way you have to approach it.
Yeah, absolutely. How about for you, Bob? Was there anything like that for you?
One thing that comes to mind, which is kind of a unique situation. This must have been the 90s, I guess. And Billy Squire came to town, was doing it was like a promo show that Laser 103, they were called Laser back then,
right,
was sponsoring, and you can get in for like a dollar or something like that at the lakefront. And it was terrible weather. It was foggy and rainy, and it was like me and five other people in the audience.
Oh, jeez.
And so, you know, Billy Squire came out, and he was pretty big then.
Yeah.
Still kind of a big name in rock. And he came out and he put on this great show for all five people there. And I think that had an influence on me, just that, okay, you know, this is a guy who's playing his music. He loves it. And if there's five people that he can turn on to his music, then he's going to do it. And he, you know, he brought it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really great. He could have just blown it off and, you know, made a joke out of it. But
right.
It was really good. So that, you know, that just kind of taught me a lot about showmanship and dedication to music. I also saw a similar thing with Cheap Trick one time. They were at UW Oshkosh, nice. And there were not many people there. They just kind of planned it on a poor night, I guess. And they brought it. So even if there's, you know, five people there, you still do it.
Yep.
You still put on a good show for those five people, and those people spread the word, and, you know, that's just how you do it.
Exactly. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you guys wanted to let the listeners know about you or the group?
Oh. Well, geez. I guess we're just four people who enjoy playing music. And if you're interested in a show or something, definitely take a look for us next year and see where we're playing. We do have a website.
Mm-hmm.
What is the website address?
It's www.theresonators.com. Two Z's in the Resonators.
Okay.
And, easy to remember.
Yep. And do you guys have like a Bandcamp page, or are you on streaming sites with the album that you released?
We are on just about most of the major, like Spotify, you can find us, Amazon Music, iTunes. So we're on all the normal big names.
Okay.
So you can find us any of those places.
Okay. And you guys, is it on Bandcamp or no?
I don't believe we are currently.
Okay. It's usually the artists usually put themselves up on there. So if you didn't put
yourself up. Yeah, I think I may have fooled around with something on that at one point in time. I may have put a couple songs on, but I don't think I followed through on it.
Okay. And then are you guys on like any social media that people can check in on anything?
There is Instagram.
Okay.
Which is just, I don't know what it's called, but it's just, I don't know what the tag is, but it's just the Resonators, just the, and then Resonators with two Z's, as I mentioned.
Okay.
So yeah. I think if you put that in it, it's probably going to bring us up.
Okay.
And aside from that, we just have the website, just the main website.
In the show notes, I'll put all your links and everything in there so people can just go there and click on that and go find you guys out on the internet.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cool. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the Wisconsin Music Podcast. It was enjoyable listening to you and all about the great stuff you guys have been doing with the music. I wish you guys great luck, and hopefully the next year will bring lots of prosperity for you and the group.
Thank you. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Have a great night.
You Thanks. Too. You also.
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Wisconsin Music Podcast. Once again, I'm Zach Fell, your host and creator of the Wisconsin Music Podcast, where I love to amplify the great sounds coming out of the Wisconsin state. We have great talent here, great support, great listeners. Thanks to Fox City's Indie Radio for syndicating this on Thursdays and Sundays, along with their other great programming. So make sure you check out the Fox City's Indie Radio. Thanks so much to this week's guests, Robert and Barry of the Resonators, for coming and talking with me about their great music. So make sure you go and check them out. More information in the podcast description. If you'd like to be on the show, just go up to wisconsinmusicpodcast.com, fill out the guest request form up at the top, ask for your email and your name, and then I'll send you an auto email asking you for more information.
If you are enjoying these episodes, please consider donating to the Wisconsin Music Podcast. Donations help pay for the website and putting the podcast up on streaming services. Also, getting our name out there to all Wisconsinites and others that are interested in our great music here in Wisconsin. Donations are secure through PayPal and Stripe. All you have to do is go to the website and click on Donate to WMP. You can also head over to our Instagram and Facebook pages and like us there. Leave some comments. Also, go to the podcast review section of your podcast player and leave a 5-star review. Would be great. You can also head over to YouTube and watch the interviews and leave comments there as well. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time.